Welcome back to the Ampside Podcast, partnered with DJ and Ledgestone. I'm Rob. Bubba sadly cannot be with us today. He's got an emergency he's got to deal with. However, like usual, we do have a guest in the world of disc golf, and today we've got someone pretty special. It is Joseph from Another Round Disc Golf. Joseph, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's a thrill to get to chat with you, and hate that Bubba can't be on, but excited to talk, man.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully we won't take up too much of your time. You got to be out on the course getting those aces, which we'll be talking about in just a bit. But as I just alluded to, you are probably the ace king of social media. Now, I think that's where most people know you from. I'm sure most of our listeners are following Another Round, and obviously that is you. But just in case they're not, can you tell our listeners who you are in the world of disc golf?
Sure. Yeah, I co-own Another Round Disc Golf, which is a retail chain. I say retail chain like it's massive. It's becoming a retail chain. We've got 5 stores across the U.S. right now, and we'll open probably 5 or 6 more in the next just under a year, just depending on how things go. My friend and I, Kyle, took over the business in May of 2019, and we've been running it ever since. The pandemic hit like 5 minutes into us owning the store, basically. And we thought we were going to lose everything. And thankfully, bad for the world, but good for disc golf. The pandemic was a huge boom and sort of accelerated our plans that we had to expand. And are most of your listeners from the UK?
We're pretty split, you know, all behind the curtain. Behind the curtains of the podcast, we are pretty much 50-50. UK, so, US.
Yeah, if you live in the States, you've probably either been to one of our stores or know about us as being kind of retail brick and mortar. We have it's a disc golf shop and a tap room, so that's the whole Another Round, either Another Round of disc golf or Another Round of drinks. And but if you're in the UK, you probably just know me as the, and you've ever engaged at all with a disc golf post on Instagram, you've probably seen me pop up on your For You page. And one of the things that we do is try to post aces and try to post near misses and all of that kind of thing. So that's likely where people have seen me.
Well, that's where you first caught my eye. And I know a lot of people have sent various reels to me on Instagram, people that, like you say, aren't necessarily disc golfers, but if you've ever engaged with disc golf, then
yeah,
your videos probably pop up. And then my friends say, hey Rob, you like disc golf, have you seen this guy? I'm like, yep, seen that guy, I follow that guy. That's funny. Does some cool stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting. It gets into that next layer of, not every reel goes viral, of course, but like we post a good bit, and so probably at least once or twice a week we'll have one that does a few million views or something. And those are the ones that get to that next layer of people that are not just disc golfers but are just generally scrolling on it. I mean there's a thing that constantly pops up on my algorithm right now. It's guys somewhere, I think in the Middle East, and they're playing a game that's on like a tabletop and it's kind of like pool, but they flick their fingers and it's like shuffleboard, like the finger shuffleboard thing where there's sand on the table.
And there's a hole in the middle, right?
Or in the corners, and they're trying to get the little, anyway, I have no idea what I did to get that, but I watch every single one. So it eventually just becomes a pattern, I guess. And so, yeah, if you haven't ever played disc golf, but you like the flight of a disc, or it's oddly satisfying to watch something go in, it'll find its way.
It's those weird echo chambers you regret ever clicking the first video, but then you get hooked.
every sponsored ad I accidentally click, I'm like, well, cool. I'm going to get underwear ads for the next 6 months.
So Dale, who is another member of the Ampside team, he's currently in the Maldives swimming with turtles. And because because he has access to the Instagram as well, the only thing we're getting pushed on Instagram in terms of adverts are excursions in the Maldives, which are making me incredibly jealous.
yeah.
So you mentioned you took over Another Round in 2019. Uh-huh. Now I thought it was started at that point. So what was it before the takeover?
Yeah, it was an existing disc golf shop here in Charlotte, and it had that name and it had the concept. It was a tap room and a disc golf shop. And Kyle and I found out that they were looking to sell. They weren't doing well, and they just kind of come to the end of their time of doing it. And so he and I were college roommates and buddies, and I got him into disc golf. And we're like, man, it would be a real shame for the only disc golf specific shop in, you know, in disc golf Mecca here in Charlotte to go under. And so we took a big swing and took a big risk together, and we were going to kind of spend about a year and a half just trying to make it just make it the best disc golf shop for here in Charlotte that it could be, kind of boost the inventory, work on some reputation things. But then the pandemic hit, and we thought we weren't going to be able to have a brick and mortar shop because everything was shut down. And so then we really started pushing more national and online stuff, and pushing the franchise stuff way sooner in the schedule than we had it. So
awesome. It's amazing to hear that there is growth there, because obviously we all know what the pandemic did for the sport, that incredible, right, what, 1,000-time boom that we saw over those few years. Mm-hmm. However, I think for a lot of people, disc golf has sort of started to maybe not go down, but flatten out quite drastically. And that flattening does include a bit of a dip, because obviously there's only so high you can go when
There was such a spike during the pandemic that that's not a sustainable growth curve. You know, you're not going to, you can't just go the exponential thing and just constantly go straight up. So yeah, there's a dip from the height of where it was during the pandemic when everybody was inside and bored and all of that, but it's still up over where it was in 2018 for sure.
Exactly. Everyone sees the down part of the graph, but actually you have to look at where you were exactly, and then where we are now, right? So yes, it jumped up, but where it landed was a lot higher.
Yeah.
But it is amazing to sort of see that you say 5 more stores, hopefully. Do you say this year, or is that, what's the time frame for those extra stores?
They always change because different things happen, and you know, it's sometimes there's real estate stuff or build out stuff or whatever. But if everything goes according to plan, this time next year there should be 6 or 7 more stores.
Amazing. And this might seem like quite a strange question, but what kind of disc golf retailer are you? Because there's a few that I can think of. So we're partnered with DGA and Edgestone. DGA, uh-huh, obviously a manufacturer, who they also sell directly from manufacturer. We're partnered with Edgestone, who are a retailer of specific disc graft, but obviously they do their own custom runs and stamps, and they do their own design stuff. Another round, sell Ledgestone, you sell DGA, but you sell everything. So are you just sort of, are you the middle of that Venn diagram? You're just the disc golf store for anyone and everyone?
Yeah, there's, well, and so yes, there's lots of different paths. Like you're talking about manufacturers, Ledgestone being like a tournament operation that started as trying to get fundraisers for that and then expanded out more into like their own retail operation, specifically with Discraft and DGA. Even within the sub sort of genre of just retailer, which is what we are, we have access to everything, we can sell everything. There's even different paths within that. So we could have gone the warehouse route and build a big warehouse, go everything online, sell everything at, you know, manufacturer minimums, and just try to push as much volume as possible. Or the kind of route that we went, which is sort of a hybrid, is the most important thing that we do are our brick and mortar stores. And that's the biggest focus that we have. And then we also do, of course, have a online presence, and we're trying to sell stuff online. But our whole thing was always, we don't want to have 150,000 discs in stock and sell every single mold of every single manufacturer and sit on stock forever and ever. We wanted to be more of a boutique brand, for sure initially, and need sort of necessitated that at the beginning. But still, it's, you know, there's a trillion discs out there and a bunch of disc golf manufacturers, and we want to carry the stuff that we believe in. We want to partner with people that we like partnering with, and we believe in what they're doing. And so, we try to have a really curated inventory, and not for just stuff that we throw personally, but for what our customers want and what we think is best for the customers, you know, across
all spectrums of the kinds of people and where they're at in the sport.
Amazing. Well, you mentioned partnerships there, and that's the next thing I wanted to go into, because another round was responsible for, I think, the coldest drop in 2023, and that is a deliberate play on words. The Austin Turner ice quake.
I'm a
huge lover of the Quake. It's my favorite disc ever created in the game, and I actually think it's starting over the last year or so to get the love that it deserves.
It's a fantastic mid-range, and it's a slot that a lot of companies don't really have nailed, and so it's I love it too. We share that love.
But I unfortunately couldn't get my hands on the Icequake, but I was watching with starry eyes every single video that you guys were doing that thing. It was stunning.
However, I'll ship you one. I've got some that I did content stuff with. Yeah, just whenever we're done with this, send me your address and I'll send you one of mine that I filmed with.
You legend. Only if you sign it.
Okay, deal.
But also we had Tristan Tanner, again, so a DJ teammate of mine.
Uh-huh.
On at the beginning of the season, he mentioned that obviously you were a partner of his and you were working on some special run of discs or some tour series discs. Uh-huh. So talk me through that process as a disc golf retailer working with these athletes, because you're not a manufacturer. So how do you make sure that is a really special product you're producing? So they're not your molds, but you can do something really interesting with them.
Yeah, it's a way that we can get money to pros. We're not a manufacturer, and we're also not, we're not, in general, a player's main source of income. So what we have to do is we have to create ways for there to be sort of shared benefit there. And one of the ways to do that, of course, is through these little custom runs. And yeah, so, you know, we go to the drawing board. I have relationships with all the manufacturers and with the people that run them. And so Tristan comes to me and says, hey, what if we did this? And I say, I don't know that mold would do very well. You might be able to throw that mold because you're, you know, a Hulk and can, you know, you can throw 650 feet, but that may not make sense for the general player. Let's think of something that you would bag, but also that would be appealing to the general player. And then we just start thinking up stuff. So like for Tristan right now, this will be an AmSide podcast exclusive. we're thinking about doing I don't know the exact plastic. It's like a ice glow or like a swirly glow bonsai is the first idea that we've had.
Nice.
So it's fairway driver. So even for lower arm speeds, the bonsai can be like a kind of baby Firebird or like a, you know, a baby Avalanche style disc. Or if you've got a ton of arm speed, it can be a great, you know, sort of neutral torque resistant thing. And so, yeah, we just try to think up what we think is going to have the most appeal and that, you know, they're going to like, and that's going to be cool. And then we run it.
Amazing. It's really interesting to hear you say about directing what discs will be popular or not, because when the tour series announcements come out every year, obviously, we've just had the DGA Tour Series 2024 announced. And I
have
found
you gotten
really
yours yet?
I haven't yet. There's actually quite a funny story. I don't want to put the DGA guys on a chopping block because they are best guys ever.
But we
ordered our big shipment of discs, which included AmSide stamped Steady BLs, which I'm super excited to be able to get into people's hands. But they missed the Tour Series order part of it, so they're going to be coming soon. It's the issue of being in the UK, because even like, you know, the shipment and getting things on drop, we're always,
it's a nightmare,
like me with bad Wi-Fi, it's always on slight lag with getting things in the UK. But with those tour series, obviously Marweed has gone from a hurricane to an avalanche.
Yep.
Which I found a really interesting move, because apparently that was his decision. He wanted the avalanche. But yeah, I would assume that the hurricane would be way more popular of a disc than the avalanche for the average consumer disc golfer. So I thought, well, that's quite an interesting business decision. In my mind, I would rather have my name on what I would think would be the more popular mold.
You would think so, but you have to think, the avalanche, the reason they made the avalanche was because when he came over from Innova, he said, I need to have a Sexton Firebird. And they said, we'll make you one.
So the Hurricane is probably better suited for newer players in some ways, but it's also really hard to get people to buy a distance driver that they've never heard of and that maybe they've thrown a run of that's really, really overstable. Because some of the runs of Hurricanes are like beefy. In fact, last year's Tour Series, the Hypercane was less stable than the Hurricane, which was weird because the Hypercane's supposed to be like a more overstable force. And the Hurricane's supposed to be like a slightly more overstable Zeus, sort of modified version of like a force or something. But I think that this specific run of Avalanche is actually pretty pushy. And so it actually kind of flies like a Sexton Firebird. And I think he probably is just more thrilled with that mold in general. And I, you know, that's a great selling disc. And I think that it makes a ton of sense. We'll probably sell more of his Avalanches than we would if we were selling his Hurricanes.
Nice. And I'm a big fan of Sully's as well. So I'm kind of glad that he's on the Hurricane. I think that's kind of a cool matchup.
Yeah, for sure.
The a question that Bubba posed an episode or two episodes ago, maybe. And I think it's a great one. I think you as a retailer and someone that throws and experiences so many discs would potentially have a bit of insight into, which is, and I promise this isn't a big DGA advert. We're going to move off that fairly quickly.
That's okay. But I like DGA.
DGA, everyone that I know that has given DGA a chance, they've fallen in love with a mold. So I know the Breaker's becoming extremely popular. The Quake, we've already said, is a fantastic disc. The Banzai, you mentioned. The Sail. They've got unbelievable molds. However, it still feels like they're really struggling to capture market share for how good these molds are. So for you, why do you think people aren't adopting DGA as much into their bags, knowing that, you know what, the quality is great, these discs do fit gaps in the disc golfing market? Is it something that just needs to build, or is it a marketing issue? What do you think might it be?
Well, historically, it's been sort of a brand, I would say, akin to like a Millennium Discs, where everybody knows that Innova makes Millennium. Everybody knows that Discraft makes DGA. But DGA has kind of just been like a... they've really focused on baskets. They've really focused on being the whole Steady Ed part of it, the history of the sport. You know, I don't know if it still is this, but at one point, DGA's website was discgolf.com, meaning still they is. Were there at the very beginning. And so I think that there's just a... I think there's a lot of things at play. I think some of the historical stuff of how long they've been around, people have already had a chance in their mind to kind of decide on what they think about it. I think the marketing has been maybe not, hasn't really scaled up until the last year or two with the current, where things are at in the market. Everything has kind of gone past them a little bit. But I think that they're still poised to do really, really well because Discraft makes their stuff and their molds are great. So if you wish the Zeus was more consistent and, you know, then throw a Hurricane. And if you wish you had a more overstable force, throw the Hypercane. And if you wish the Zone was straighter, throw a Breaker. And if you hate the Buzz OS, throw a Quake. You know, there are absolutely places where these discs will fit. And so I think it's just a matter of, and there's big stuff coming with DGA in the coming year. And I think you'll see it becoming more and more popular.
Have you thrown the Surf or the Sonar yet, the two new passes?
So again, we're not putting DGA on the chopping block here, but they were supposed to send me those whenever they sent the DGA Tour Series. And those were not included in the box for me to do content with. And I was doing the content for free, just as a courtesy, and they forgot to throw them in the box. But that's okay. No, we love DGA still.
I've got hold of mine. However, the north of England is currently rainy and haily and windy. And I think if I went into a field to throw a disc, I would lose the disc in the wind and I would sink into the ground simultaneously. So I'm waiting for the sun to come out.
Which is typical, right, for Northern England this time of year?
It's typical for Northern England. This time of year is a big question mark. We're almost May, and it's 10 degrees Celsius right now, which, what's that in Fahrenheit? Couldn't tell you.
I'm bad at math. I don't know.
It's cold.
It's cold, yeah.
I'm living in hoodies.
We're going to do it right now. Celsius to Fahrenheit. Let's see this.
Freedom units to old-timey. 50.
Yeah, we don't do things that make sense over here. We just, it's 50 degrees. 50 degrees Fahrenheit, which is pretty chilly.
Yeah, but then also there's some states that are sort of snowy right now as well. I've got a friend that lives in Saskatchewan, Canada, and he's constantly putting pictures of icicles dripping out of his nose and crazy things.
Yeah, we've got stores in Salt Lake City in Utah and in Denver, Colorado. And both of those, when I was there for the grand opening of Salt Lake, it was like 78 or 80 degrees, perfectly sunny, gorgeous. We were able to like do whatever we wanted in shorts and t-shirt. And then the day after we left, it started dumping snow. So it's really weird this time of year in those places.
You know, we try and keep politics out of the show, but global warming, eh? You know, it's not a myth.
Here's my pitch for the folks that are denying climate change or whatever. What if it could just be cooler outside? That sounds great. If we could do that, if we could affect that, I'm for that. Let's do that. I don't even think it's a political thing. Let's just be for it being colder outside. I like that idea.
Absolutely. I tell you what, great idea for a podcast. I'm going to get a flat earther on the show and then get him to explain elevation in disc golf. So they've got to be both a flat earther and a disc golfer and get them to explain elevation.
I could name a few pros that are probably flat earthers, but we'll keep the hot takes out of this one.
We're gonna finish recording after this. And I'm good. And we're going to, because we can play some mental snap, because I think I've got a couple of names that...
Okay. But I'll confirm or deny if they were on my list. Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, well, moving on from the 20-minute long DJ ad, obviously people do know you from Instagram or social media the most. Uh-huh. So let's talk about that. So obviously the Aces. We need to talk about the Aces immediately. I've only in my life ever had two, and it seems like you're racing 30 times a week. So... that might be a slightly exaggerated number. How many aces a week are you getting, do you think?
Oh, it changes all the time. It depends on the kind of content that I'm shooting. If I'm doing YouTube stuff, so that my workflow right now is that I film two or three times a week, and I'm filming a full round that will live on YouTube. And then within that, I'm taking shots from that. Or there might be a hole that's particularly good where I throw the shot for the round that I'm filming, but then I throw some shots for reels. So it just depends. If we have a disc releasing, or like Bob from Discraft texted me, I don't remember when, but said, I need you to get an ace with this new disc. And I'm like, okay. So then the whole goal is to go out and do that. And so you throw it until it happens, basically. So it just, I think one of the reasons that there's people that are not stoked about our content, or weren't, I think they've kind of gotten over it because they've seen that it's continued and it's not going anywhere, is that, like, if you've been playing for a long time, you only have two aces, you're like, what the heck is this guy doing? Like, why is this happening so much? Well, obviously, it's because I'm not really playing actual disc golf much. You know, now I'm doing a little bit more now because I'm filming, you know, full rounds for YouTube, but I'm going out and trying to do, I'm being a circus clown, you know, I'm trying to go out and do something cool. So sliding a mid-range 280 feet and putting it under the basket, you're going to get 12 views on that. Who cares? But if you get it chain height and chain out of an ace, you're going to get, you know, 50,000 views. So it basically, it's sort of distilled down over the years into what is sort of not just what the algorithm likes, but what the disc golf community really likes out of that kind of content. And, you know, I found out pretty quickly it's aces. That's what disc golfers want to see when they're scrolling. And so that's what we've done.
Do you have a pricing system? So for advertising, say Bob calls you up and he says, Joseph, I've got $50. And you go, oh, you know, $50, I can only get you a cage hit. You know, $100 chain no. out, $150 ace. Like, that's what you should, that's the sliding scale right there.
Yeah, I probably should start doing that and add a zero to the numbers you said. But I think it looks different with every company. And some of it's, you know, it's because we've got a bunch of these things and we're trying to move them. And the thing that we're looking for usually is like compelling brand partnerships where we're helping them, they're helping us, and you know, it works out.
So talk me through the disc decision, because obviously you mentioned that you may have them in and you want to sell them, so that's the right disc for the right time. But obviously manufacturers are bringing out loads of discs all at once, so probably this week alone there's probably been multiple, like Pro 10 drops from different manufacturers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How do you go through that process of, okay, today is the Kratos, then the Rollo tomorrow? How do you go through that? And also, are you bringing out 50 Kratoses and 50 Rollos and just throwing? Or so what's that filming
process like?
I love
it. Nobody's asked me these questions, and this is fascinating to me. It would be fascinating to me, I think.
I will just say, when you get the aces, you don't see a field of discs around the basket as well. I think that's what makes the video quite special as well, because it doesn't look like you're on your 50th try.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. So I think we've got two salaried guys that manage our online and inventory stuff. And so they're doing a lot of our ordering. And so they'll tell me, hey, we've got, for instance, when I get done with this, I'm going to go to the course by my house and I'm going to film stuff with Mint Disc. Just came out with a Sublime plastic Jackalope, which is like an 8-speed kind of flippy disc. So I've got two of those, and I've got the Ledgestone stuff that just came out, because I haven't really filmed a lot with it. I've got one of each of those, and I've got DGA Tour Series, and that's it. That's probably all that I will throw today. This will not, more than likely, not be a full round playthrough, so I'll go to like the 4 or 5 holes that are good on content that you can see a basket, and I'll throw any of them that make sense on the hole, that like I can get there at chain height, this could be a cool shot, and I'll probably throw 6 or 8 shots on each hole. And my guess would be that out of, let's say I throw 50 shots today or 60 shots today, which would be, it's going to be really light. Most times it's if I'm doing that kind of thing, I would play probably 10 or 12 holes. But let's say I get 60 shots today, I would say I will probably get 5 or 6 reels out of that, you know, really close calls, or maybe I get an ace or something like that. But it just always depends. Sometimes you're feeling it. Sometimes, like 2 weeks ago, there was like a 6-day stretch where I legitimately was like, I would bet Paul McBeth $100 that I would beat him right now. I probably wouldn't have, but I just felt like I couldn't miss. Every release point was perfect. I was hitting putts from everywhere, the whole thing. And then there are other times that I go out and I film 3 holes and I go, not feeling it today. This is not going to work. And so, yeah, it just depends. And if, you know, for instance, Discraft wanted me, their marketing guy texted me and said, hey, can you ace with the Kratos, first run Kratos and the first run drives or prototype drives or whatever. And I said, I will try to do that, but please send me 5 of each of them, because I don't want to have 2 of each of them when the whole objective is trying to ace with that specific disc. And so luckily it was so weird. This was during that stretch where I was on fire. I first shot aced with the drive, and then I third shot aced or something with the Kratos. Like, so within 5 shots I'd aced twice, and that's not realistic for an expectation in the future. It's, you know, it could be a lot.
How many first throw aces do you think you've got? Because surely that can't be a huge number.
Yeah, I got probably the best one I've ever gotten, probably top 5 I've ever gotten last week. It's like 350-foot shot, tunnel shot, one of the hardest birdies on the course, par three, and was playing in a doubles round, film doubles round for YouTube, and threw this really insane looking flex forehand and hit an ace that's blind. And, you know, so I probably have 30 or 40 first shot nice. Aces. But the way I categorize aces personally is either it's a tournament ace or it's everything else. Because you could also go to a pitch and putt course, throw your quote unquote first shot, but make 100 loops of the thing in a day. And that also doesn't count for anything. Or if it's your first shot ace in the middle of a practice round, who cares? They don't count for anything. So number of tournament aces I have is zero because I don't play tournaments. But that's the way I kind of delineate it or whatever.
Fair enough. I have two, and one is my first ace. So I count that, even though it was casual. I think your first one's special. And then the second one was during British Championships. And I won MA3 that year, so I was the MA3 British champion.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a bit of a strange one, because obviously it's a division system, so it's sort of, I was the British champion, but so far down the tier system. It was quite funny. But I did ace at British Champs, which was quite a good ace. And unfortunately, in my last two tournaments, I've chained out. Now, I don't want to be one of these guys saying another chain out story, but both two different holes... But both of the shots were pure, dead straight, full flight shots. And I haven't got one of those yet. All of my aces have been sort of hyzer dunks, if you will. So I'm waiting because I feel like there's probably nothing better than the full flight. You know, you've thrown it the way you should throw it and it goes in. Yeah. So I'm waiting. I'm waiting for that.
Yeah, it'll happen. I mean, the other part of it is that, you know, and there's people that will debate this or whatever. I don't think all aces are bad shots, but... In general, if you're playing in a tournament, there are times when running a basket at chain height is a really bad idea.
Yep.
And, you know, so you watch Paul Macbeth. He's really not great at acing. He's done some videos on his YouTube where he's trying to ace, you know, little pitch and putt courses. And you can watch his brain. It, like, breaks his brain to try to throw at basket height. He's so used to throwing stuff and, you know, sliding it into the circle. So, it's just a different thing. And obviously, you know, the thing that I had to come to early on was I'm trying to show what discs ideally can do. I'm not trying to promote myself as a disc golfer. So none of this stuff counts for anything. I don't have a rating. It's not a, you know, there's no award for this. I'm just trying to sell some Frisbees, you know?
So you mentioned there that you don't promote yourself as a disc golfer, and that's a question that me and Bubba both had when we wrote our list. So you're a bit like Jake from State Farm, right? Everyone knows, oh, it's Joseph from Another Round. People know your name, they know your face, they know the company you're connected to. Right. However, you don't really give any more than that. You don't go into personal, you don't vlog, you don't sort of... You do talk to camera, but it's minimal and it's about the shot that's happening there and then.
Uh-huh.
Was that a really focused, purposeful decision to say, you know what, it's not about me. I'm comfortable in the camera and I can be a personality, but I'm not going to be a social media personality. I'm not going to be bigger than the content that I want to make.
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm personal in the sense that, like, I put my son... on our Instagram, my family's involved in it. Like, it's not a detached thing where I'm trying to, like, create really hard boundaries between me, the person, me, this figurehead within the thing.
The difference I would say is, like, Jonathan from Latitude is very much, you're living in Jonathan's world and disc golf just happens to be the focus.
His personality is front and center. For me, I think the reason that we started making the content that we did is because it's the kind of content that I wanted to see. And there was so much fluff in disc golf content, people talking to the camera and, man, I just can't quite figure out my putting woes. And it's a lot of that. And for me, I was like, dude, we want to watch the discs fly. Just get on with it. Let's watch what we love about disc golf. And so, that's kind of why it's a lot of like shot versus a lot of talking and a lot of personal stuff. And because I am representing another round the store and not me as a player, you know, I'm not competing on the pro tour or trying to get to that level. This isn't about my playing career or my aspirations in disc golf. It's about, this is what the Latitude 64 Strive does when you throw it really well. And so, yeah, you know, it's like, it's not supposed to be a realistic depiction of what I am as a disc golfer. And so if I'm playing a content round and I'm not scoring it and talking about the score on camera, if I shank something and it's out of position, there's nobody on earth that wants to watch me pitch out of the woods, pitch out of that, and take a par or a bogey on something. And so it's going to be, you know, spoiler, it's going to be a good shot. More often than not, it's going to be a good shot. Unless it's spectacularly bad, and then you'll probably see that.
Out of interest, obviously you said you don't really play tournaments, but what rating are you or what do you think you'd be right now if it hasn't updated in a long while?
You know, I honestly don't think about it a ton. I've had, you know, I play a lot of content rounds with pros, either ones that we sponsor or Germ or Yuli and those guys when they're in town. And I've played with the top people in the world and all of that. There's not a real way for me to know, because it would either be, if I was playing, I would have to imagine myself playing at the highest level, like playing with pro tour courses. And I haven't really spent a lot of time doing that. They're usually playing on my turf, which is park style, 350 feet or like, you know, whatever it is in meters.
350 is about just over 100. I think 330 is 100 meters.
That's right. So, you know, those are the style courses that we're playing. And, you know, I can go toe to toe with them at times, or there are moments where you go, oh, I'm definitely not one of them. And they have speculated to me before what they think I would be rated. But I just don't think it matters. I've never cared about it. Even before I owned the store, I would play local leagues and stuff. But I never really got into tournaments. I think I've played like two or three charity tournaments and two doubles tournaments. But that was never appealing to me. I mean, especially there are people that just love tournaments that are, you know, four rounds or three rounds over the course of a weekend, and your entire weekend's gone. And I'm 36. I'm a dad. I don't want to be traveling to Peoria, Illinois, and showering in Planet Fitness. And I just, there's never been any part of that that's interesting to me. And you know, it's no judgment on people that is interesting for, but I just don't really care.
See, the only place I've ever been to in America is Peoria, Illinois, and that was Fledgestone last year, which I've been told probably isn't the best representation of the U.S.
yeah, I'm going to say there are some better places in the United States of America than Peoria. I'm not going to say there are definitely worse places, too, but not a lot of things of note there outside of the disc golf tournament you went for.
Well, it's some pretty good disc golf, right? I think that's what it has going for it. So, obviously, the growth of Another Round on social media, it's incredible. Do you know your exact follower count? I know it's in the pretty high thousands. I think it's about 50-something thousand, is it?
I think... Let me look. I think that we are nearing 60,000 followers.
I actually looked pre, and then... Yeah, oh, 59.9. Oh.
Yeah, we're 59,913. So we're 87 away from 60,000.
So this episode goes out in a couple of days. We may have hit 60 at that point, so you know, fingers crossed. But that's incredible.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's a couple of hundred, it's sometimes a couple of hundred a day, so
how do you accredit the success for that account? Now, not to throw other content creators under the bus or say that they've done it the wrong way, because there's a million ways to do a job correctly, but there are people like Foundation who I love their content but obviously had a huge kick up the bum, as we say, with Brody and Macbeth. There are other channels that work heavily with pros, and they piggyback off, you know, followers and supporters of those pros. Was there an early pro leverage part of Another Round social media, or was it fully organic through, okay, this is the content we think people are going to want to see, and it's just really, what's the word, reflected with the community, and they've really just connected to it?
Yeah, it's been really organic, and you know, we've never paid for any followers, and we've never, the start of all of the social media thing really was back in the day on Instagram. You had to have 10,000 followers to share links to do the swipe up thing, and so I think we had like 3,000 or 2,500 or something at that point when the pandemic hit, and I was like, well, I've got a little carrot out in front of me that I've got to try to get to. So I started sharing stuff like crazy. And, yeah, I think part of it is the quality of what we've done. And some of it is just, we've posted, you know, we post 3 or 4 reels a day, every day for 3 years or something, you know, as long as you're not just posting horrible stuff, some of that is bound to help. But you know, it has to be quality, and it has to be stuff that connects with people and that they actually click around on and engage with, or else you're just going to lose however many followers you gain. And so, you know, I think we've, you know, less than 5% or something unfollow rate each month or something. And then 5% of what the new followers are, essentially. So we're continuing to grow, which is cool.
We hover, but we had a big period where we were getting a lot of bot accounts following us. So when you sort of start to see those drop off, it sucks because the follower goes down. But you think, well, actually, that just means that we're getting a more engaging audience, because our engagement is up, but our followers occasionally drop. Yeah. So it's a juggling act, right?
And the other part of it is that the follower count is not at all representative of the reach of your account. Like we've reached, I added it up the other day. We have in the last 30 days, it might be different now because I haven't done it, and like, I haven't done the math in a couple of weeks, but, the previous 30 days when I did the math on our reels, we had like 40 million views on our reels in 30 days. We had reached like, you know, 10 million accounts, individual accounts or something crazy like that, and engaged with 1 million people. It's like, not a lot of them, that did not convert a lot of them into followers. But if they've engaged with our stuff, you know, the way that you scroll Instagram now, you're not scrolling and seeing the people that you follow. You're scrolling and seeing whatever is put in front of you. And so we have people that are like really good friends of the shop, and I'll look and they don't follow us. And then, you know, they're friends of mine. I'm like, dude, what the heck? You don't follow the shop? They're like, I don't know. I just thought I did. I see it every day. And so I think that's, you know, I think that's the goal, is that, without tooting our own horn too much or whatever, the goal was like, we want to be the center of like the disc golf zeitgeist, the conversation, and having people, you know, being like culture makers within the sport. So,
I had that the other day. I love Ryan Trahan, the YouTuber. And I...
Say the name again?
Ryan Trahan. He does the vlogging.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's the best YouTubing vlogger in terms of how he does it. Uh-huh. It's just perfect. I have watched every single video he's done for 2 years.
Didn't subscribe?
Last week, I realized I wasn't subscribed. But it's just because I watch everything that they just continually fed it to me. So I was glad that they did. But now I'm subscribed. So... we're okay. I won't miss a video now.
I'm sure my son would know him. I just looked him up. It doesn't look familiar to me, but
he did this thing where it was a one. He had, how long did he have? I think it was a month to get across. No, he got across the entirety of America starting with just one penny.
Oh, cool!
And it was really cool because then he basically, someone sold him a pen for a penny, and then he sold that pen for $1.
That's fun.
It was really great. And then in the end, he gave a big penny to Mr. Beast. It was kind of a fun thing. Just a shout out to another disc golf account, which has grown hugely in the last year. Are you aware of Casey Music and Disc Golf? He makes those.
Yeah. I met him up at the Northeast Disc Golf Expo. We got to hang out for a minute. He does hilarious stuff.
You mentioned, well, I mentioned earlier about disc golf videos that non-disc golfing friends send. I think his video where it was how to avoid tree roots and then he completely falls on his face, I was sent probably 10 times by 10 different people. So it's just great to sort of see that success, because it sounds like it's a similar story that he's not thinking, oh, look, here's this pro. He's on my Instagram account. He's going to get me lots of followers. He's purely on that content grind. He's out there making it. And
for sure. I'm looking up something because it was one of his videos. I can't find it. I don't want to bog down the thing. I think one of the things that makes him popular is that he's not directly necessarily representing a brand, so he can be a little bit more off color. He can do stuff that's a little less safe than, you know, the traditional kind of tropes of like, this is what it feels like to hit a tree, and it's really kind of elementary Mickey Mouse kind of joke. Versus him, who can do stuff that's, you know, they're hitting each other in the face with specific kinds of silicone toys and things, which is a lot different than somebody that's representing a manufacturer would be able to do. And so, yeah, he's got a massive following, and I think he's had stuff that has, you know, millions of views, and so he's. He does it well.
Amazing. Yeah. Are you telling me there's not going to be another round dill disc video coming out anytime soon?
I was trying to avoid saying that word.
I only said half the word. We're still family friendly.
So that it wouldn't get clipped. but yeah, no, I don't foresee that being one of our next challenges. No.
Gotcha. Well, Joseph, we're pretty much coming to the end of our time. I am really interested to know, though, you said you're going out to throw the DGA Tour Series stuff and some of the Ledgestone stuff. What are some of your favourites from those? Obviously, we're partnered with both. I have just got my hands on the Jawbreaker Heat, which I love MF Doom, so I'm hyped with the stamp, which is good because I think a Jawbreaker Heat is going to become the flippiest thing in the world after one throw. So it's not necessarily something I would throw, but that thing's already mounted on the wall above my vinyl player. But the Fierce feels amazing. The Buzz, it flies great. What are you enjoying from this run? Or have you not thrown a single thing yet?
No, I've thrown it. Jawbreaker Heat is fun just because it's actually not crazy flippy right out of the box, but it will become that.
You hit one tree and it's the flippiest heat that you've ever thrown.
Right. The Buzz is weird because it's got the thumb track and it's sort of like it's the Buzz GT, so it's got like it kind of makes it a little faster, maybe a little less glide or something like that. It's interesting. You know, Ledgestone's obviously, it's hard to say what a favorite is because they make 70 trillion discs and they've already done every plastic of every disc that's ever existed in Discraft's lineup 10 different times. So there's been a lot of stuff over the years that I've enjoyed. I think with DGA, with their tour series, I just usually pull stuff that's bright enough that's going to be able to be seen on camera and whatever. So I pulled all the stuff from the tour series, one of each discs and, or one of each disc. And I got the sale, Katrina sale, thinking that it was going to be, they were all just similar weights. And then I got it out to the course and it was 150 class. And I was like, this is going to be crazy flippy. And it's not.
Oh, wow.
It's somehow weirdly not. I don't know if the weight of it doesn't allow it to get up to speed enough to make it. I can't really describe to you because there's sails that I've thrown that just corkscrew out of your hand.
100%.
And, so I no clue why, but I really, really enjoyed it. The Quake is actually the most overstable run of Quake I think I've literally ever thrown, including first runs and, like, the money runs that people like.
The first run Quake is, I've said on the show many times, it was the first disc I ever owned and threw, which is the worst disc to give someone that's never thrown a disc golf disc before.
Yeah.
Because those first run Quakes were beefy. Beef. Yeah.
I think the pipeline might be the best run of pipeline I've ever thrown. Awesome. And I really particularly like that disc. But yeah, I'm stoked on all of it. I'm going to spend more time with the Ledgestone release today, and I'll have probably some more opinions then. But I try to, that's one of the things we talk about content. It's one of the things that I've tried to be intentional about, is trying to be authentic and say, I like this disc, I don't like this disc, not just be a pure marketing shill.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I'm not a big fan of the Berg, for instance. There has to be, if you like everything, you are a liar. And so if I'm not a big fan of something, I usually either don't promote it at all, or I'll say, I don't really love this.
And I think that's important, because I think that's what sells, is the honesty, right? I love so many DJ molds, never really got on with the Tremor. And I'm happy to sort of say that, yeah, because I like so many of the molds that,
uh-huh,
and people come up to me and tell me, you don't back a Tremor, it's a great disc. So, you know, it's a fully subjective thing, I guess, disc golf molds, sure, are, for sure. Joseph, there's one more extremely important thing we need to do, and that's, this season we've started doing Amside versus the rest of the world. So we are getting tournament picks. So we always let the rest of the world, aka the guest this week, pick first. So Champions Cup this weekend, who are your MPO and FPO picks going into the weekend?
Well, it's a major, so, and Paul Macbeth is playing well, and I think you'd be silly to not say that he's at least in the top two or three favorites going into the event.
So you do get, it's 10 points for a first place, 5 points for a top five. So if you think there's a very safe top five there, that could be an easy 5 points for the rest of the world.
Okay. And I'm only picking one person, right?
One person from each FPO, MPO.
I mean, I'm just going to, this is like, I don't know if this term is in the UK, but I'm going to go chalk, meaning I'm going to go with the favorites. I'm going to say Paul Macbeth and Kristen Tatar. Those are going to be my two picks. I think I've got 5 points guaranteed with Kristen, and Paul will be, you know, it just depends on how he comes out and plays, but you know, he can throw. Northwood is about, I've never played it, but from what I've talked to pros about, it's a kind of Olympic level of patience you have to have. You have to be willing to throw mid ranges, and you have to be willing to play for par on holes that you know you might be able to birdie, but the percentage is low enough that it's not worth it. So I think Paul has that part of his game perfectly dialed, and if he's hitting 35 or 38 foot, 43 foot putts with the kind of regularity that he was last weekend, he's still probably the fiercest competitor in disc golf. And yeah. And he wants it more than anything, even with having a baby and being a little bit older and all of that. He's still my pick.
Brilliant. Well, Paul and Kristen have officially been taken. Now, me and Bubba can't pick those. We will have to make sure that Bubba sends in his picks, and we'll put them out on social media.
I'll put it to you this way. For you and Bubba, especially on the FPO side, specifically on the FPO side, if your pick wins, I think you should get 30 points. Because Kristen is the absolute prohibitive favorite.
That's a good shout. I actually didn't realize that, actually, because it's a major, it's 20 points for a win, 10 points for top five. So they are double anyway. But I will check, okay, with Bubba. I'll say Joseph has proposed.
Do the math on that. I don't know how that, all that stuff works.
My picks going into Champions Cup are going to be, you know, the queen of Ledgestone. I think Missy Gannon. It's Northwoods. She plays well in Northwoods. And there's always money on the line, right? And when there's money, she always shows up. But my MPO might surprise a lot of people, because I normally go for the chalk picks, as you say. That isn't a term that I've heard, but makes sense. Uh-huh. Someone that, now I know it's a different course, it's Northwoods, not WR, but Silas Schultz played fantastically last weekend. He's good in the woods. I've played Northwood Blues with him. And you say about Northwoods, Northwood Blues was difficult. Northwood Blues held me upside down and took my lunch money, and that's the little brother of Northwood Black. So it'll be interesting to see how I would get around on blacks. I dread the thought. But no, I've got Missy and Silas. We will, like I said, we will message Bubba and we'll get his picks on social media beforehand because we don't want him cheating. We don't want him sort of halfway through Saturday round thinking, oh, I quite like X, Y, Z, the person that's taking
I've never seen or met Bubba. Never seen him or met him, but he does. He just kind of strikes me as somebody that would cheat like that. So you got to watch it.
Now that's getting clipped. Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for giving your time. I know our listeners are going to absolutely love this episode. It's incredibly interesting to get into that world of, you know, owning and operating retail and social media, especially from my part. So thank you.
Cool. Well, it's been wonderful, man.
Please use this time to promote anything you want to promote. I heard that you're involved in some kind of store or retail business, so you may want to mention that again. But please, this time is yours to say what you'd like.
Not much. Just if you don't follow us on Instagram, follow us and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you live in the States, throwanotherround.com is our website where you can buy all your disc golf frisbee stuff. And that's it. This has been great. I appreciate you having me on, and it's a bummer that Bubba couldn't be with us, but this is great, and I'm happy to do it anytime.
Amazing. Well, we will catch you very soon.
All right, man. Cheers. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Joseph, what a great guest. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I love it when we have these non-player but disc golf-centric guests. I think we get incredible insights into the world of disc golf outside of purely playing, and what a great guest he was. Now, the only thing that's left for me to do is to thank our sponsors and our partners. Of course, in this interview, we spoke about them quite heavily. So the first one is, of course, DGA. Now, DGA have, like mentioned, just released their 2024 Tour Series. Joseph gave a great description of some of them. So if you want to go try them for yourselves, you can go through discgolf.com. Again, Joseph said it's the oldest URL in the sport. So discgolf.com, you can use our code AMSIDE and that'll get you a percentage off your order. So make sure you're doing that. DJ are also hosting or presenting the Des Moines Challenge this year. So, you know, lots of DJ goodness or DJ in the world of disc golf in 2024. And personally, that's awesome to see. And then, of course, we have to thank Ledgestone. Ledgestone, just like DJ, have just had a huge drop, their season 2 drop. Like I said on the chat with Joseph, I have got my hands on the Heat, the Fierce, and the Buzz, and they're all looking, feeling, and flying fantastic. They are just some crazy runs, and they don't always knock it out of the park with the stamps and the plastics. So if you want to get hands on anything the Ledgestone are producing, head over to Shop Ledgestone and pick yours up today. You can use the link through our code in social media, and that gives us a bit of help, give a bit of a kickback, and lets Ledgestone know that we sent you. Obviously, Ledgestone are running Champions Cup this weekend, and they've also got some awesome drops for Champions Cup specific stamps and molds and t-shirts and merch. So much cool disc golf Champions Cup centric stuff. So if you are a big fan of that tournament, make sure to also check that out, shopledgestone.com. And yeah, thank you both of these guys for sponsoring and partnering with the show. Their support means the absolute world. Now, the only thing that is remaining to do is to obviously take Bubba's place in letting you guys know that we love and appreciate you. Thank you for listening all the way to the end. You can follow us on social media at the AmSide Podcast. I'm AmSide _ Rob. Bubba is Be Awesome Bubba. So make sure to go give us a follow. Make sure to give this podcast a like, a follow, a rating, a review if you are able to on your platform. But guys, if I don't see you on the course, I'll see you on the AmSide.